Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Is that your kid eating cigarette butts over there? And I'd be like, oh, yep.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
Don't let the bumbo capsize.
With Margaret Abels.
And Amy Wilson.
I see Roseanne and it's like, I start lactating.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
No!
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret.
And this week we're talking about having a baby and a toddler.
Oh. If you must. We are experts in this topic, Amy, because we both had toddlers and babies, and then we had two toddlers and a baby.
Yeah, I kind of did. I had three under five. You had three under four, right?
I had three under four. I had three in diapers.
Yeah.
I don't think I had three under three, but I had mine 18 months apart. Each of them almost exactly 18 months apart.
I definitely want it on my tombstone, like three under five, right? Like it was.
Yeah, it's definitely that thing of like, it's such a rallying cry, like three under five, three under four, three in diapers.
And it is, and it should be. You deserve every bit of the sympathetic glances and kudos that you do receive when you're out
props,
and about with this.
Props, ladies, props.
This episode was suggested by Raya on Facebook. And she said, do an episode on how to survive a toddler and a newborn. My kids are now 1 and 3 and it's getting easier, but the first 8 months were probably the hardest thing I have ever experienced.
The first 8 months of your first two.
Yes. And so we went to our Facebook page and we asked our listeners to tell us what advice you have. And we got, flooded with great advice.
There was so much advice. You guys, first of all, just check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast, because we're not even going to be able to include all the good advice.
No. And you know what? I'll put a link on our show page, which is whatfreshhellpodcast.com. I will put a link to the specific Facebook conversation where you can find all of this good advice, because there's a lot. And I want to say this episode really brought out the champions of the closely spaced siblings, but the winner might be Heidi, because she says, my first two kids are 11 months apart. And number two and number three are 13 months apart. So my oldest turned two right before my third was born.
Yeah, Heidi, bow down. Everyone bow down.
So we're going to hear from Heidi.
The queen.
Heidi has some good advice. We are really grateful that Heidi took the time to type out some advice from deep inside
the mind.
She's got to
have some. Amy, I want to start the whole process, though, with a bit of a rebuttal. Controversial. I always say to people when they're like, I don't understand how you had kids so close together. I do not understand, will never understand, how someone has a five-year-old who's in all-day kindergarten and starts again.
Well, maybe we should do a separate episode on them, because I know those people too.
But I just mean, like, for me, like, the horror of like three under three was horrible, but all of the bad was together. And that's what I want to say in defense of this whole thing. Like, guys, if you're in it, it's really bad in the beginning, but then you're done all at the same time.
It is an intensity. It is something that, I mean, it's pretty distant for me now, right? Because I have two teenagers now. And as I look back, like, was that me? Did I do that? And you do.
It's a blur.
You get through it. So if you're listening to this, I know we have some people listening who are about to have number two. And like, it's intense and you do it. And if you have more than one, we've all done it. So should we get to the advice?
Yeah, let's hit them with some advice.
Okay, obviously the most important thing that you need to set up once you have basically two babies is naps. Napping is very important. And as Erica explains, you need simultaneous naps, that you need to do what you need to do to make that happen so that both kids are sleeping at the same time. I used to do this. So my oldest was 1.5 when my baby was born, and I would put him down in his crib. And by the time he was 1.5, he had his nap time. I think it was around 12:30. We read a story. I put him in his crib, and then I just would take my newborn and I just would lie down with him like on top of me. I put him in a sling, and I just would lie down on my back and immediately, you know, just fall asleep. And he'd fall asleep with me because he was a very agreeable second baby, thank goodness. And so I just sort of made it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think people sometimes are like, easier said than done. But this is the kind of thing where it's not going to happen. Like, okay, we're all going to nap at the exact same time together every day. Like, it doesn't work like that, but it's a good goal to always have in mind.
It's a good thing to try. Yeah.
You're constantly like moving this family sleep schedule together. And as you keep doing that, you will find that you have kids who nap at the same time.
Samantha says, and I think this is good advice, don't mess with your toddler's schedule. Try to get the baby's schedule to sync with the toddler's. And it's true, a newborn, you can just, they're ready for a half hour nap whenever, unless they're colicky. But so she does say, if you have a very difficult newborn and easygoing toddler, then flip it. Make the one that's more easygoing and flexible adhere to the schedule of the one that needs to be more set.
Even with my first baby, I was breastfeeding and I implemented what I called snack and snooze. And it was like a 3-hour block in the afternoon where we just stayed in bed. And like, he could like breastfeed a little bit and we would both snooze a little bit. And then I would wake up. And if I woke up, I would try to just relax and read a little bit. Like 3 hours in the afternoon, we were in bed and it was snack and snooze. And then when that became his afternoon nap. And so that became the time I did it with the new baby. And that's the way, like, we're not saying like regiment and like militaristically, like now we sleep, but like, carve out the nap times that are already there as times that are really quiet in the house, and your baby will start falling into that as a nap schedule.
Anna Lynn called it family snuggle time, and she says kind of the same
snack
thing.
Snack and snooze. It's the same thing.
But there's an important underlying thing here, which is, Mom, this is for you too. Like, it's okay when you have two little ones and you were probably up a couple times during the night, that nap time, both kids are asleep. And if you need to lie there and be immobile for that to be happening, if you need to tandem nurse or you need to have one, you know, watching Octonauts and then fall asleep and the other one's nursing and you kind of can't move for an hour, that's okay. That's, close your eyes, put your feet up, listen to a podcast.
It's more than okay. Yeah. It's ideal. It's a must.
It's a nap is for you too, Mom.
Absolutely. And I am not a good napper and I really don't, I don't sleep well. And I always had sleep problems around the kids and it was hard for me. But I found even if I could just spend the 2 hours of my kids' afternoon nap warm in bed with the baby and the baby would sleep on and off, I found it relaxing. Like, don't lock yourself in mentally to like, we all have to fall asleep the second the baby falls asleep because that's when the counter starts and the baby's going to wake up. It's like, just try to take quiet time at those times and it'll start to come together.
Raya did say that, you know, she will sometimes drive around in the car because that will immediately make both of her little ones fall asleep. And at least it's time for her. She puts on a podcast. It's quiet. She's not holding them and they're sleeping. That's a good way to sort of create a nap time.
You're having trouble also like getting things to fall into place, it's like you pick the time of the day and it will follow. The sleep will follow if you carve out the times of the day. My kids napped at 9 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon every day. And just making sure those times were always set as nap times. Sometimes the kids didn't sleep during that time, but when I kept it consistent, then they all started sleeping at the times. You know, it's not like it magically happens because some people might say, oh, but my kids don't fall asleep then. If you always keep the time, it will start to become nap time and they will start to fall asleep more easily. You have to stick with it.
And I will say one thing that I was sort of semi-flexible on was where the baby was sleeping. Once you have more than one, my baby would definitely be napping, my second and then my third, on the go, in the stroller, in the car seat, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody told me, and I thought it was great advice, and I stuck with it, the baby should get one nap at home in the crib. One, you know, actual just for you nap, because the other ones are going to be snoozing on the go. And that's okay. But I always tried to have one at home for that, for the baby.
Well, yeah. And then I had like a preschooler at some point while my little one was still napping. And it's like 12:30 pickup we could do. And then sometimes he would stay and it would be 1:30. And it's like, yeah, you're going to end up with a kid who falls asleep in the car.
Oh, and that's always, it's the worst when they, of course, I wasn't doing car, I was doing stroller, walking around New York City, and they, and you're walking home, you're trying to get them home for a nap because they'll nap.
I would be pinching them while they, while I drove, like, don't fall asleep.
Good, right, and they fall asleep in the stroller. I remember, like, if the elevator would, you know, sometimes an elevator gets to a floor and it goes like a ding, and it kind of, the ding, or just the way it sort of stops and goes up and down just a little bit, that would be enough to wake them, and like seven minute nap,
you, like,
no problem.
Fall to your knees and you're shaking your fist at the head. And you're like, no.
Yes. Yes.
I had a gated house in LA. I mean, when I say a gated house, like, don't picture a mansion. It was like a little house with like an iron gate around it. I would occasionally pull in, shut the gate, open the doors of the car, let the baby continue to sleep in the car, bring the other kids in and put them to bed, go back to the car and read a book. So then everybody was still asleep.
Right.
At the same time.
Right. Many, many a time the stroller in our hallway with the napping baby in it. And you,
yeah.
And you're like unzipping the coat, like,
I know. I'm just like, leave the coat, whatever it is. If you're hot, you wake up.
Right. Right. All right. So we figured out naps.
Naps, you got to do. It's a non-negotiable. I don't want to hear it's not going to happen. Just keep at it.
Just keep at it. All right. Let's talk about sanity savers, things that will get you through this intense time. And one for me that I've talked about on the show before, but I think it's important, is when the baby comes, if your toddler wants to regress a little bit, that's okay. If they want their blankie out of the crib, if they want their passy more often, who cares? Like, let them have it and worry about it a little later.
In my case, if they've been pooping in the potty and now they're going back to diapers, just suck it up for another month. It's
right,
fine.
Right.
It's not time to die on any hill when you've got a 2-week-old and an 18-month-old.
Right, exactly. Let that go.
Make like Elsa and let it go.
The other sort of obvious thing, but we heard from so many people, is like TV. There's going to be more TV in your life for the toddler in the near term, and that's okay. And seriously, 3 people said that the thing that got them through was Moana, the movie Moana. Like, repeated, Kelly, Raya, and Laura.
God bless Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's saving us all.
All said that their kid watched Moana over and over again. Laura said, having made it to 3 without watching a movie, my son has now watched Moana more times than I can count in his brother's 3 months of life. So he's made up for lost time. He has Moana memorized. I don't think I've ever seen Moana, but it sounds like, ladies, you should consider it.
I would break into some Moana songs, but I don't want people to turn off the podcast.
Anna Lynn says Boss Baby was the movie they watched over and over. So, you know, take that. That didn't look like a great film.
I feel like everybody has, from this phase of life, 2 things. One is the show that their kids were watching. For us, it was Octonauts. And one is the show that they were watching while they breastfed late at night, which for me was Roseanne. Like, it's like, I just associate, I see Roseanne and it's like, I start lactating. Like, it's like, I would sit up at night and watch Roseanne. And the kids would watch Octonauts in the morning when I was tired. Like, it's like those shows are just burned in my memory.
I watched Dr. Phil, which has completely gone over a cliff. But I will say, like, so my oldest is 16. Like, 16 years ago, it wasn't actually completely horrible every day, just sometimes. And that's what I watched.
It's just funny. Like, you just associate those things. I'm going to give you my biggest surviving with a baby and toddler. This was the key to my life. Find every fenced-in playground near where you live. And see, you live in New York City, so I think all the playgrounds are pretty much fenced, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're lousy with playgrounds. Yeah, and they're mostly fenced. Of course, does the person remember to latch the gate when they come in is another question. But yes, there's lots of fenced-in playgrounds.
Yeah, so that was the key to my sanity. Because then, especially when I had 3 under 3 or 3 under 4, I could kind of just let it go. And like, occasionally someone would be like, is that your kid eating cigarette butts over there? And I'd be like, oh, yep, let me go deal with that. But I knew they weren't at least like in the next county. Because in LA, we had a lot of, when I was raising my little ones, I was in Los Angeles, and there were a lot of like giant parks with open playgrounds. And one of my kids was a runner. Like, he would just stand up and just go for it. And he would be like 3 football fields away. And I would have to constantly be like, just screaming at strangers, like, go catch that little boy in the yellow t-shirt. And so I mapped out in my mind, like, and I would tell people, like, oh, do you want to meet at this park? I'm like, I can't, there's no fence around that playground. I knew every fenced playground within a 50-mile radius.
There's a related tip to this, and I can't find right now who said it, so I'll give her a shout out once I find it. But she said to make sure you always, when you're, you know, putting your 2 little ones in the car, in the car seats, always strap in the more mobile one first. And that is such good advice. And I didn't, I remember my kid, I was putting my baby in the car seat once and I hear toot toot and I look up and my 2-year-old is standing in the middle of a country lane with a car that had come along and he just was, you know, just hanging out in the middle of the road.
We did it once in a busy LA parking lot. I will say my husband did it and we had some words about it, but exactly. He unbuckled the mobile kid. And then as he was getting the baby out of the car, mobile kid like darted out between two cars in the parking lot. And thank God there was no one coming because you must keep your mobile child contained until you have the baby all set and ready to go so that you can hold the mobile child's hand. And then you reverse it when you get back in the car. The mobile kid gets strapped first and then you deal with the baby. And that is like, it's just one of those mental notes to make. And then I have a hilarious example of this that I will share with you right after the break.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Okay, my ultra example, Amy, of this tip is that we, for some reason, because I think we must be insane, took our toddler and baby ice skating, and it was a mistake. But my husband and I were both wearing ice skates, and then we were dealing with the baby and futzing around, and I took my toddler came over, he was tired. I took off his ice skates, put them down, and then my husband had the baby. And then, of course, my toddler took off running. And my husband and I were both still in ice skates. So I'm chasing my toddler wearing ice skates through a park in LA, trying to catch him in downtown Los Angeles. And he like almost made it to the subway. And I was just screaming at people like, grab that little blonde boy as I tried to like chase him through the streets of Los Angeles while I was wearing ice skates.
Did you ever consider using one of those harnesses like you see people use at Disney World that I'm a little judgy about, but now I know why they use them?
100%. You should have no shame about using a harness, even if you call it a leash. I actually often thought about it, and I think we even bought one. I will say it's one of those problems that tends to peak and then disappear. Like right when I thought I can't handle it without the harness, I was fine without it. I think if you master your order of strapping and unstrapping the kids, the leash things become easier. But I had a runner, as I said, and I have no judgment for people who use a harness. I thought about it and I would have done it. I just kind of almost never got organized to do it. And then by the time I really thought about it, it wasn't really an issue anymore.
Well, that's an important thing to pass on to people who are listening too. Like I had a runner for 6 weeks once. Like these things that when you're in them seem like this is your new reality forever is just a very intense but contained moment in your life.
And what I will say about that is another big rule of mine at the time was anything that was panicking me, I had to wait for 2 weeks before I made a decision about it. And that really helped me through this time because I would be like, I can't handle this kid always running away. And then 2 weeks later, it would just be better. Things change so fast at this age that like, I can't handle the kid who cries instead of naps. And then 2 weeks later, it wouldn't be happening anymore. So I tried to make a deal with myself. Do not panic about anything that hasn't been happening for 2 weeks. Obviously, I'm not talking about things like fevers, rashes, medical stuff. Deal with those right away. But behavior stuff that you're having trouble with at this phase, I would give it 2 weeks before you decide it's ruining your whole life.
That's good advice. Missy said something about that was a little bit less ambitious than ice skating. She had activities that she could do with one hand ready to go. Like she had a basket where it's like, I could kind of do this puzzle with one hand. I can kind of stack these blocks with one hand so that she could be nursing the baby with one hand and playing on the floor with the toddler at the same time. And I thought that was pretty good advice, actually.
At some point, my husband came home and I was playing soccer with the older kid while breastfeeding another one. And he was like, I think we've reached a new low. And I'm like, yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Jennifer says her boys are 18 months apart and she joined a mom's group. And that was her sanity saver. And that certainly was for me. Like just having a place you have to go, doesn't matter if it's cold or hot or raining, or like I would strap my boys in their double stroller and off we'd go to somebody's house where there were different toys and a grown-ups for me to talk to. And if you can find that, use it while you're home with both of them and get out.
Absolutely great advice. And I had this Friday nights for me. So my husband worked like a pretty, you know, like 9 to 5, although it was of course more like 9 to 7 kind of a job. And so from Monday to Friday, I was by myself with the kids all day, every day. And I started meeting another mom at a play space, indoor kind of play space at 4:30 on Friday afternoons. And then my husband would meet us there by 6. And so basically by 3:30 on Friday, I was kind of done. I was like getting the kids ready to get in the car and go. And then I would meet my friends. So it was like, it gave me like, if I can make it till 3:30 on Friday, I'm okay. And that helped me a lot.
Yeah. You need a reason to get out of the house every day as much as it seems.
You need a reason to keep going.
Yeah. You need that 2 o'clock music together class with the tambourines. It gives you a structure for your day that.
Hello, everybody. Right. We're glad to see you.
And the baby likes that stuff just as much. All right. Well, let's move on to gear that works. I thought we had some good advice here too. Melissa said you have to make sure you get one of those frames for the car seat so that the baby's car seat can pop out and ka-chunk right into a thing that becomes a stroller. So if you get to somebody's house and the baby is sleeping, they can continue sleeping. Get one of those people.
That's non-optional, guys. That's non-optional. It's 2018. You got to have one of those.
Colleen said that she replaced the glider in her son's room with a Lazy Boy recliner that was big enough to fit her and the baby and the toddler for what we were talking about before. What did you call it? Snack and snooze?
Snack and snooze.
You need a proper snack and snooze chair. And if you need to, you know, move some stuff around and make that happen, I encourage you to get the best chair you can that can also fit your toddler for all the time you're going to be spending reading the Pokey Little Puppy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Wherever it is, like, get your space going.
Baby wearing. I didn't figure this out until number 3. My first baby was a colicky baby and wouldn't tolerate it. And so I didn't try it with number 2. Like the story I told myself was like, my babies don't like baby wearing. And then I got to number 3 and I just had to. And she loved it. And she spent the first, you know, year of her life on my front, like I was a kangaroo. And a lot of people, Kelsey, Miriam, said that was their lifesaver they can't live without. Melissa suggests keeping a carrier in your car all the time in case you need it.
And I will say I went for the 3-kid stroller. I had the double stroller and then I put, I think they call it a kickstand or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because with a 3-year-old, in my case, if we went somewhere, like he wasn't really up for a really long walk. We go to the zoo basically. And I just pushed all three of them in the stroller and people would goof on me and be like, oh my God. I mean, it looked like, you know, those pictures of like, you'll see a country and it's like, there's 76 people on a motorbike and they're all riding along. Like that's basically what I look like all the time. But rather that than like have my trying to carry a three-year-old while pushing a double stroller, it's not happening.
Yeah. And I always had the carrier with me because often the three-year-old would end up in the stroller and the baby stroller while I was wearing the baby because the three-year-old thought he wanted to walk until he didn't anymore.
Yeah, that's a tricky one because that three-year-old is not, if you're at the zoo, I mean, the LA Zoo is in a Griffith Park and it's really hilly and it's a lot of walking and sometimes it's 110 degrees. And so my three-year-old, realistically, I mean, he could, people can do anything, but he was really miserable if he was walking for 4 hours in there.
Now that zoos are about like habitats and not cages, you do have to walk like a mile and a half before you see a single animal.
That's the thing.
They're and then it's really, like a red panda really or something.
Far apart. Not.
It's not that.
No, it's
you're not
track.
Seeing good stuff until the kids are ready to get in the stroller. So yeah, have options. Have options. Let's talk about presets because I this was a whole theme that developed in the comments that I was like, I don't know if I did this, but I would have been all over this if I thought about it. This is all stuff that people, moms of two who have gone through this, say that you should do while you have both hands free because at least 3/4 of the time you won't have. Well, let's say half the time you won't have any hands free and then another 25% of the time you'll have one hand free. So these are the things you do when you have both hands free that you plan ahead so that they're ready.
Okay. Hit me.
Raya said that she would have a surprise. She called it the surprise basket. And because you know how when you sit down and nurse the baby, this is 100% of the time when your toddler will decide they need you to get up and get something. Like they're pushing your buttons. Well, I need this. And so she had a basket of snacks and I don't know, books. And she doesn't really say what was in there, mostly food, I guess. But she had it ready for the toddler so that when the toddler was like, I need you to get me, as soon as you're like stuck for 20 minutes, you can say, go to your surprise basket and you can pick out anything you want. And she said it was really worth
it. And it's like the love measurer thing too, which is like, do you love me more or are you going to stay with the baby and nurse it?
Yes.
And it kind of gives you an opportunity to be like, I made you this very special thing.
Yeah. Kara said the same thing.
It's a little precious, but you know, make it work for you.
Kara said the same thing, like have the snack ready before you sit down and nurse and then, you know, let stuff happen. Like she says, if your kid dumps out all the pieces of the puzzle and they made a big mess, okay, there's a big mess. Is anybody bleeding? No. So just leave it for a while. You know, you're going to have to give up some measure of being able to follow around your toddler like you used to and sort of render their every moment sort of contained and maximum learning and all that. They're gonna have to learn to wander and do stuff on their own a little more. So just be where you can keep an eye on them. And
spoiler alert is a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good thing. Like the whole thing of tweet, like, oh, it's how do I get my kid ready? And oh, now they have to share my love. Relax, everybody. That's everybody through the history of time who's ever had a sibling. And we all live to tell about it.
Like, yeah,
these are not permanently psychologically scarring things to have to say. And I still say it to my 10, 8, and 6-year-old every day. We are a family. That means you don't always get your first choice. Sometimes it's someone else's first choice. Sometimes it's someone else's day. It's good. These are good lessons.
You know,
the world revolves around you and I meet your every need all day, every day is for the birds.
It is. And it also developmentally, interestingly enough, it coincides with a time, assuming that the average toddler that we're talking about here is going to be somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 years old when the new sibling comes, they are at an age where they want to do things by themselves. I buckle this by myself. I get my own this. I hold my juice myself. They want to do that. And so it is very important that you lean into that and, you know, zhuzh their independence and let that be something that you really hold up as like, oh, wow. Daddy, look at how she's doing that all by herself. Like, lean into their independence because you're going to need them to be more independent. And they kind of want to be. So let it be a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And at this point of life, you know that like every kid is always like, I do it myself. Like, that's what you hear from them. So great. Go do it yourself. I got a baby to deal with.
Marcy had good advice. She said, because she was often saying, no, I can't do that right now. I'm helping the baby. I can't do that right now. That she would sometimes make sure to say to the baby, who's an infant, right? To say like, I can't do that right now. Like, I hear you crying, but I can't help you right now because I'm getting Connor his lunch, you know, that you make sure you return the favor.
That's smart.
I used to all the time say to whoever my baby was in earshot of the toddler, like, no, you can't go to the grocery store with mommy. You're the baby. You're going to stay home. Only Connor gets to go to the dentist with mommy. Like, I would always take opportunities to explain to the baby how they weren't old enough to do whatever I was trying to get the toddler to do. And it worked.
And I will say that this is something we still struggle with as a 3-kid family, which is that there are kids who, for whatever reason, demand more attention at different times, but sometimes like one kid overall demands more attention or is just like the kind of personality that sucks up more of the oxygen in the room. And my husband and I at 10, 8, and 6 will still have the conversation where I will sit him down and be like, we need to pay attention more to our middle kid now. We need to take 2 days and make it his days. Like, just to try to avoid the thing of like, the reason I will say it is because I'll notice that one of the kids is like kind of just going for a lot of negative attention. And I'm like, oh, that's right. We've been spending too much time on the kid who is high needs, and we need to just take 2 days to really make it about a different kid in the family so that we're not always just dealing with the kid who's the squeaky wheel.
Monica said this, and I thought it was a really important thing, like and related to this, like the toddler is maybe going to get a little bit more difficult and they may need you to like lean into that a little bit, as you say, and prioritize them a little bit. She said it really helps to be empathetic about, without getting too precious about it, empathetic that your toddler has had their daytime one-on-one buddy, assuming that you're home with them, has been taken away. And if you can be empathetic, well, that does kind of suck, and you're letting them have their blankie a little bit more, that's going to help you through this. If they're choosing this moment, you have a colicky baby and you have mastitis and the toddler's being more demanding, it's a lot. But if you can remember, like, nobody asked them, then it does help you sort of be empathetic.
And we have a big overall, lots of people suggested go-to piece of advice on that, and we're going to get to that right after this.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Your second child is here, and it might be time to adjust your expectations. First child.
We shall eat only organic foods, which I will lovingly hand blend.
Second child.
Is a 6-month-old too little to gnaw on a McDonald's french fry?
First child.
Screams. Are you insane? Don't you know Steve Jobs didn't let his own children have iPads until they were 6?
Second child.
Okay, let me prop you up in the bumbo to watch Dora the Explorer, and then maybe I can grab my first shower of the week.
First child.
Oh, no. I could never leave my precious child.
Second child.
Honey, if you don't book me a sitter and get me out of here this week, I am going to lose my mind.
First child,
we will maintain a rigorous nap schedule from which I shall never veer.
Second child,
the baby's asleep. Everyone lie down. Now, this could be our only chance. Move, people, move.
This has been your guide to adjusting your expectations after a second child from the What Fresh Hell podcast. So, Amy, we had a ton of people give the suggestion. It's a good suggestion, an old suggestion, a solid suggestion, and it is give your toddler jobs.
Yep, let them help.
That relate to the baby. Mm-hmm. Let them help. So a lot of like, oh, I need you to help me with the baby. Go get the diapers. Could you help me feed the baby? I mean, be careful with this because it involves a lot of eye stabbing with a spoon when you let the toddler feed the baby, in my experience. But a lot of like, you have a new important role helping with the baby.
Yep. Heavy praise and clapping afterwards, Kelly says. And that's important too. Like, wow, you just got the blanket. And Raya makes a good point. Again, it's the preset thing. She says she would leave the wipes, the blanket accessible for the toddler. Like, if they're going to go get the blanket for you, then make sure they're on a shelf with the toddler
right
can reach
level.
It.
Exactly. I will say this doesn't work for everyone. My older son had no interest in the baby, no interest in helping with the baby, and didn't seem that perturbed by the baby's presence. So he was slightly interested, like, a baby. But we didn't do a ton of this, so.
It depends on the kid. Mandy said the same thing. She said, my daughter was not happy with the baby and was not a helper. And so you don't try to make this happen. It's not, it'll either work for you, it'll either really work for the toddler, in which case use it, or they'll be indifferent or worse, resistant, and then drop this immediately. This is only if it's useful. Because P.S., with most of these things, the toddler, quote unquote, helping means it'll take five times longer than if you just did it. This is about making them, keeping them occupied and making them feel included.
And also relax. This is not going to define the sibling relationship your kids have for their whole lives. Like, don't decide that your job is to make these two beings love each other in a fairy tale way, because it may not happen and it does not matter at all. Like, my dad tells a story that his friend, who's a pediatrician, was saying, or an obstetrician, like, people are always like, oh, you know, you're going to love your new sibling. And he always says to parents, like, okay, what if the husband came home and was like, Amy, you're going to love the new wife I'm bringing home, Maria. She's so nice. Like, you're not going to like her. It's an adversarial relationship. She's taking over your spot. So do not insist constantly on how much you're going to love this baby, because maybe not. It's fine.
You'll get the picture. They'll be at some point. We all have the pictures in our photo albums of when the toddler propped up with the baby when you first come home at the hospital. You'll have those photo moments and you'll take them. And then other times the kid will be indifferent or perhaps openly hostile. And then you just keep them separate for.
Right. But if you spend your whole time being like, oh, two best friends, oh, freaking frack forever. Like, relax. They're not even really that cognizant of each other. It's not, don't try to force that. You'll drive yourself crazy.
That's not something that you have to put on your list, right? Let's talk about letting people help. It's complicated because if you're breastfeeding, which a lot of us are, your partner can't help, can't get up with you in the middle of the night, can't do those nursing sessions, which take a long time in the beginning. And so you are stuck with that. And then the toddler will usually be uniquely focused on only mommy, right? Only mommy can cut my hot dog. Only mommy can read me this story. They want your attention too. So you have to figure out how people can help with all the things that aren't your children's actual emotional needs for you.
So important, and I'm going to return to one of our favorite themes. Be careful of your story here.
Mm-hmm.
It is so tempting and easy for the story to be, I have to do everything. No one can help me. I am the only one who can do it. And like, if your toddler thinks you're the only one who can cut the hot dog and you're miserable, it might be time to be like, neighbor Sue is going to cut your hot dog. And if you don't like it, don't eat. Like, if you let the story become, I am the only person who can do anything, it's the path to misery. You got to open up some doors and figure out what other people can do. And my advice to helpers, and this goes for people who are sick, people who have had new babies, people who have experienced tragedies in their life, people who are having a hard time in any way, the phone call you make is not, what can I do to help? The phone call you make is, I am going to come over and bring some dinner. If that person says no, you say, is there anything else I can do instead? And if they say no, you try again later. So don't bring dinner if they don't want it, but come in with a concrete suggestion of what you could do to help.
Right, right.
And I was thinking I could come over and do some loads of laundry and fold them for you. I am a person who does not like other people touching my underwear. So when people offer to fold my laundry, I'm so skeeved out by it. And I'm like, whatever you do, don't do that. But I might say, you know what, that's not helpful. But what would be great is if you go upstairs and organize all the baby clothes for me. And so offer concrete help, because often when you call people and you're like, how can I help? They're too overwhelmed to think of something for you. And where they feel embarrassed to make a suggestion.
Or you're embarrassed to have people come over and see your messy house, or that you're barely surviving. Samantha said that she just invited everybody into her house. If it's chaotic, let them see that it's chaotic. They're not going to be surprised by that or taken aback by that. It is chaotic. So say yes, even when your knee-jerk reaction is, oh, say no. Even if somebody comes over and just plays with the toddler on the floor for a little while and gives the bigger kid their full attention. They don't have to take them to the museum for the afternoon. They can just play blocks on the floor for half an hour. Your life will be a little bit easier for that attention.
And if you're really struggling, which I was at one point, challenge yourself to figure out what other people can help with. One thing I did was I backed off from exclusively breastfeeding, which was also a factor of not producing enough milk. So it wasn't, the decision was not only I want this, but I realized that if I alternated breastfeeding and bottle feeding, that my kid was getting a lot of the benefits of breastfeeding and I was not so tired that I was a miserable human being to be around all the time. And that seemed like a really smart trade-off for me.
Yeah, I would say that the idea that there's nipple confusion and you can't ever give your baby a bottle or something terrible will happen to your breastfeeding regimen is a dangerous
for me.
Yeah, that's a dangerous thing, because it just makes people want to stop. And you can work in a bottle once in a while and things work out pretty well.
It just seems more than any other time in your life to be careful of the story of like, I have to do it all myself. I'm the only one who knows how to do it. The kids only want it from me. Like, if you are miserable, that is not worth it. Make some sort of change. That is my strongest advice.
I want to circle back to what you were saying, because I agree with it so strongly, that if the toddler like, oh no, only I can put him down for his nap because he likes to twirl my hair around his fingers, and like breaking that will be hard for like 15 minutes. So do it. Lean into the opportunities to change up that only you can do everything for the older kid, because the kid wants more independence anyway.
And spoiler alert, your kid loves you best forever. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do. If you leave the house for 3 years, you come back and your kid still likes you best. You're the mom. You can let a lot of other people in and they're not taking any pieces of the love pie. Your kid loves you best. They want you most, but be healthy and let other people do stuff for you.
That's well said.
Please.
We had some really good sort of overall takeaways.
Oh, it was Beth who said strap the most mobile kid into her car. Beth, you're a genius.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Let's all applaud Beth for that wonderful advice. Heidi said if she had one clean toilet and a decently clean kitchen, then nothing else was urgent or overwhelming.
And she had like three kids under two. Right. She was doing much better than me, Heidi. So stop showing off.
She had one clean toilet and a decently clean kitchen?
Yeah. Not me.
Rachel says you need to give yourself grace. So much grace, she says. I wish I would have been nicer to myself, and just do your best.
I want to put a practical face on that, because I think it can sound a little goony goo goo and like, give yourself grace. What does it mean? I figured out that baths were my special place that relaxed me. And I tried to set aside a time to take a bath. And my husband was kind of in on the plan. And I will say my husband's a doll, and he would like come home from work and he would walk in the bathroom and set up the bath and put on like calming music and light candles in there. And then he'd be like, I've got the kids for half an hour. This is bath time for you. And like Young Frankenstein, which might be an oldie Lux alert.
Back in my day.
There's a scene in the movie Young Frankenstein where he's like, whatever you hear from in, he goes in to confront the Frankenstein monster. He's like, whatever you hear, do not come in. And then of course the monster starts like trying to kill him. And he's like, help, help. And they're like, no, we're not going in. But that's what David would sort of say. Whatever you hear out here, just, you're in the bath. This is your half an hour of bath time. Like, try to find some actual ways to say, like, this is my time that I do something for myself.
I want to go back to Emily said that if your toddler loves the bath, like, let them take a bath for an hour. I mean, obviously you're sitting right there with the newborn sitting on the toilet seat, but like lean into what's working, right? If you like baths, take a long bath. If the toddler likes a long bath, then it's bath all day. If they're happy in their high chair for 15 minutes after dinner's over, then leave them in the high chair. Like do not rush to the next thing if the current moment that you're in is working.
Whatever's working, stay with it as long as possible. Yes. That's good advice. And then the other thing I will say is, at a certain point, baths become a common activity. So everybody's in the bath at once. You don't give three baths. But don't do, learn from me. I don't even know, they still make those bumbo seats. Mm-hmm. I had this brilliant idea that I would put my son, my toddler, in, and then the baby would go in his bumbo seat in the bathtub so he could sit next to the brother. And of course, I stuck the bumbo seat in the bathtub and it immediately, like, it's not meant for the bathtub. And I'm sure it says that on there. And it immediately like capsized and he was like stuck in the bumbo seat upside down underwater. So that I would not do. That was a mistake. Learn from me.
But you're right. That's what the arc is bending towards here. That's one of my overall takeaways, that this gets easier when your kids stop needing different things at the same time.
Ugh.
Right?
Heaven.
When your newborn is nursing 6-8 times a day and your toddler isn't potty trained, like that's hard. This all starts getting much easier once it's lunchtime at 12, nap time at 12:30 for both of them, bath time at 6:30 for both of them, and story time and bedtime at the same time. Your life will change once they are doing the same things at the same time. And so move towards that, baby steps. Because the sooner you get there, the sooner this will get easier.
Absolutely. And that's what I always tell people who are like, I don't know if I should have another. I'm like, you're already doing all the things. It takes no more energy to put 4 more chicken nuggets on the plate and serve it than it does to make 4 chicken nuggets. Like now you're just making 8. Like the beginning is a little bit hard until the baby kind of gets on the schedule. But then it's like, it's dinner time. It's bath time. It's all the stuff you're already doing. You're just making a little more stuff and you need to carry a little more people. It's fine.
Just a little more people.
A little more peoples. And I will say, other giant takeaway advice, which I've talked about before in the babysitting episode, I think, I started getting my neighborhood very young. I think at the time she was like 13 years old. She was not a babysitter. She would come from 5 to 7 at night. I would pay her, I don't even know what, $8 to $10 an hour. It was not a lot of money because she was a child. Just to have another set of hands. I would be in the bathtub and then I would call to her and say, hey, take the baby, put a diaper on him. And then I'm going to get the other kid out. Like just, it was literally like hiring a second set of hands for the 2 hours a night that were the hardest, which is like, I'm trying to make dinner and bathe the kids and get them to bed. Very, very helpful and cheap. You can do it with a 9-year-old. Like it does not need to be an expert person. It needs to be a slightly reasonable human with 2 hands, basically.
There is no shame in that game, right? They're helping you. You're still doing it. They're helping. It's crucial.
Yeah. And like a lot of kids like to have something that makes them a little bit of money. They like to practice babysitting. Call your local Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts has a babysitter training program that their scouts go through. And a lot of them want to practice. And you say like, hey, I'll pay you $8 an hour if you come over for 2 hours. And like done and done. You got another set of hands.
I tell you what. And the toddlers love the big kids, right? Like kids at pretty young ages sense this is somebody who's not a grown up, but is a lot older than me and just a fascinating creature. And so like a 9-year-old to a 1-year-old is like, oh, I hope I would ever someday be this cool of a creature. And
the skill set for the kid is very low. It's stare at the child. Do not then let them lick an outlet. If they try to, call me. Like, that's it.
Don't let the bumbo capsize.
Well, yeah. Don't put the bumbo in the bathtub.
Learn from my mistakes, kid.
That's a huge mistake on my part. I should have seen it coming. Like, the water was filling it up. And I was like, this is a great plan. And then all of a sudden, the bumbo started floating and my life flashed before me.
I thought you were going to say it got waterlogged, which would make it
not
capsize.
No, it floats. It floats like a boat, but like a very unsteady boat.
a bad, bad boat.
Well, and so my big takeaways are no Bumbo in the tub and do not take toddler and baby ice skating.
No, God, no. And keep in mind, you know, we heard many, many versions of this from all of you. But I liked what Missy said. There's a lot of trial and error. There's mostly error. In the end, we all cried frequently. It was hard, but it was temporary. And her mantra was, this too shall pass. This is an intense and temporary moment in time that you'll be telling stories about for the rest of your life.
Yeah. This too shall pass is a perfect place to end. So guys, we want you, this all started on the Facebook page. We want you to come back to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. And now you know about our Facebook community and group, and we want you to come there and have lots of great conversations with your fellow moms.
Yeah, so it'd be good for the people who are moms of two to help each other out with what's working and not working. You can also go to our Instagram, which is whatfreshhellcast, or our Twitter, which is at WFHpodcast.
And we're going to have some links and fun stuff on our website, whatfreshhellpodcast.com, as always, and also a link to the new community if you're having any trouble finding it on Facebook. So come talk to us, guys. And don't forget, if you have a friend who's expecting a baby and already has a toddler, got to share this post on her Facebook wall and let her know about it. Help her out. Tons of good info.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.